and transmutations. You are being connected with the cosmic core. Careful, the first step is tricky.
You have entered a new level of consciousness.
We are adjusting your frequencies. Hooking up your psychic telephone. And blasting your heart with solar flares of love light. Welcome to the Cosmic Core with me, your soul sister, an astral astronaut, occult priestess. Allow me to give you a tour of the Cosmic Core, a bit of a wrap to serve as a map. Coalescing cosmic consciousness, coming at you with a Darshan Disco Shaktipat Sitarai, blasting sonar to your third eye, dancing with bikinis and bikinis, mystics and yoginis in the astral sky, waving at the shamans and the hippies as they drift by, understanding through love we never die. We are the Platinum Ray, the Diamond Codes, the Star Seeds, and the Not-So-Ascended Masters. Souls of two worlds, walking between them as best we can, perfecting the great work. We are beyond time, the hermits, the healers, the compassionate ones, the light warriors, mask rippers, and systems busters. We are missionaries from the upper realms, planting the seeds, anchoring the vibrations, teaching the way, unlocking DNA, cleaning up the bloodlines, clearing karma, and preparing humankind for the greatest show on Earth. Hello, Freeman fans. Occult priestess reporting for duty. Given name, Corinne Wilson. Nickname, Cor. The Greek root of Corinne, meaning maiden. I am Agent MIB. That's Maiden in Black. For more about me, see my page on freemantv.com and occultpriestess.com. You are listening to The Cosmic Core on freemantv.com. Today's luminary and dispeller of shadows is the auspicious Evie Lorgan, authoress of The Alien Love Bite and The Dark Side of Cupid, as well as Freeman's first in-studio guest. Evie has a fascinating past, stretching from the hard-nosed scientist focusing on physical, empirical evidence, to an open-minded, compassionate, trauma-counseling yogini. This transformation is proof of an evolving soul. I requested Evie as the first to enter the Cosmic Core, for she is well prepared to search the darkest realms for truth and gnosis. It is my personal opinion that Evie carries a goddess in her heart, and her mission is to assist in the liberating and healing of humanity. Welcome to the Cosmic Core, Evie Lorgan. Thank you for educating us today.
So we understand here at the Freeman Network that there is a system of control on our planet, that there seems to be a spiritual warfare, as I like to call it, between darkness and light. And I thought maybe we could start there just kind of as a holistic looking at the interplay between darkness and light in our world. So some people call it the matrix, and I look at it as ego constructs. How would you describe the system of control that is encompassing our planet at this time?
Oh, that's a good question, because it certainly has been an observation of mine over the years, especially when I started working with people who've had anomalous experiences, and specifically those who reported alien abduction or alien visitations, experiences. And then as I explored more of that, I found out that there appeared to be some kind of counterforce to discovering the truth of these experiences, and some kind of consciousness through different groups, whether or not they were people or non-human interdimensional beings. They're trying to counteract and prevent awareness and installing different kinds of hyperdimensional interference or attacks or spin-controlled versions of, let's say, an experience For example, screen memories. So this really opened up a whole Pandora's box for me to understand not only what was happening, but why. And why is there such a great energy, consciousness force, whatever you want to call it, trying to prevent that real awareness of what's happening. So that really started me 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and discovering so much more over the years that there's definitely a type of matrix system, which I think is a worldview that's been somewhat imposed upon us through our, you know, social structures, religious structures, political structures, and limited consciousness frequency manipulation.
Oh, I love that. Limited consciousness frequency manipulation. Yeah. Yes.
Because that's really what it is when you realize this. But most people don't realize it until maybe they wake up over many years doing some kind of investigation, even maybe in the world, for example, through some kind of conspiracy theory where they figured out there's, you know, some kind of hidden cover up of some thing. Or certain kind of spiritual yogis and practices can uncover certain kinds of perceptions that help you become aware that things aren't what they seem.
Oh, my goodness. Exactly. And I woke up both ways at the same time. I woke up to conspiracy and a Kundalini rising at the same time. So I got hit with both barrels at once. And it's so interesting how we all have our personal stories of waking up and how intense it is for us, actually. And there was a time in your life that you spoke of when you began to seek this truth and this high strangeness path of healing. You were graduating with your master's in psychology. You already had your biochemistry under your belt, and you were involved in group counseling with the alien interference. That's amazing. What made you reach out to people? What was in you that said something has, this has to be talked about, this has to be discovered? What drove you?
Well, what drove me was certainly knowing that I had had experiences in my own life, which actually even preceded first degree. And those happened all through childhood and early adulthood and into my life even today. But I didn't really understand what it was, or I thought it was something other than what it has really, I've discovered to be. So I really wanted to investigate. And not only, I wanted to be there for others who were wanting to look into this, because in the mental health field and the psychology field, especially at the time I got my degree, which was in the 90s, there really wasn't a lot of specific help out there for people other than, let's say, alien abduction researchers or hypnotherapists. And that was helpful. But over time, what I thought was necessary was not just a memory retrieval or information gathering technique, but really a true therapeutic process that addressed all the unique needs of what was really happening in these anomalous experiences.
So, that's amazing. So they were coming at it from a holistic point of view instead of where we have in Western medicine, where it's mostly here's a prescription and I'll talk to you 5 minutes about what's going on in your life.
Yeah. And that of course, brings us back to the false, quote, matrix worldview, which is being assumed by a lot of the standard academic institutions and, you know, politics, religion, whatever you want to call it, and because there's things happening that cannot be explained that are definitely happening, where there is physical evidence in many cases of these, you know, UFO landings or abductions interactions, although most of them seem to have taken place in a kind of altered state of consciousness, where there's not always physical evidence, but there's definitely some kind of a sign that something happened that created post-traumatic stress, or even medical issues like alien implants, anomalous objects found in the body, as well as unusual medical issues like missing pregnancies. The evidence, actually evidence that, for example, someone I know who went in to get a pap smear, a regular checkup with a gynecologist who has never had children, never been pregnant that she knows of, but when he checked her up, basically he said, well, she has evidence of having given birth. She never gave birth, but, you know, we suspect there was definitely abductions going on. But these kinds of things happen where you'll have medical reports of having repeated injection marks and different kinds of scar tissues in their ovaries where their eggs were taken out through certain abduction procedures. I mean, this is actually very commonplace. So we know things are happening based on what people are reporting. It's just whether or not you can get to the root of what that is and get through what I call the, in the early days, I called it the truth detracting tactics, which is really another word for spiritual warfare and the forces at work to try to prevent us from knowing what's really going on.
That's really amazing. And I read recently something that clicked everything for me with our Western psychology. They said Western psychology is for normalizing people. to getting them back into the Soma program, basically, of just being a mindless zombie and doing work like a slave.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I could relate to that because I studied Oriental medicine and Taoist Qigong and, you know, shamanism and a lot of different things, and came to understand that there's a whole other view of understanding life and, you know, how everything is put together from a cosmological viewpoint that makes more sense. And even that, let's say, if you know the meridians in the body, for example, in acupuncture and Qigong, one of the things that we discovered was when anomalous implants were found in the body, sometimes they were physical, sometimes they were what we call etheric, or a type of energetic structure, or something in between. Sometimes they're found along the certain meridian lines, where they will have an effect on that organ system or that meridian energy, what we call of the five elements, it's going to affect you in a certain way. So I think that these beings, or whoever they are that are in putting these in our bodies, they actually know a much more detailed medical and life map of us.
Mm-hmm.
Pays to know that, because I think that when we limit our consciousness and our worldview to the Western scientific methods and even the rational brain, you know, limiting it to the rational left brain ways of viewing things is limiting us and actually causing us to be blind.
I agree. It's also like shoving us in our ego so that we stay down energetically. And, you know, something that really triggered me was watching a movie called Jupiter Ascending, which is Sagittarius Rising, which is what I have. I am Sagittarius Rising. In the movie, the doctors and nurses were actually grays. They were gray aliens.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, and it triggered me. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like my trauma from hospitals and doctors. And it made so much sense to me that it's just a belief now. It's like, well, I'm not really going to go for Western medicine at this point. And of course, this is my own choice through my own path.
Yeah, I mean, that movie was very telling. Although, you know how Hollywood is supposedly, according to a lot of the conspiracy people, right, that
right?
Hollywood will reveal some of these things of what's actually happening as the occult way to have to tell us what they're doing, as they're doing it, or before they're doing it, or after they do it. It's kind of like a spiritual law that has to be enacted for this game to be what it is. And so what I've learned, even in the therapeutic process, according to a spiritual law, that there are certain spiritual laws that must be understood and dealt with before we can get a kind of clearing from certain kinds of interference. It's really interesting how I think whoever's in control of a lot of the media, even, that they know, let's say they have the knowledge of how things work and what spiritual loopholes and technicalities they can get away with to do what they're doing.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. My head's going to fall off because I'm nodding the whole time you're saying this. So let's get into, this spiritual warfare. And I call it goodies versus baddies. And it does happen in the third dimension and the fourth dimension. And I did have a quote here that I found this week that I liked. It's from the Swiss Hermes. And he said, I got into meditation because I was inhibited. Turns out I was inhabited.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot.
I know that I had implants and ickies around me. And of course, I had a shadow man for 19 years with the sleep paralysis. So I had an actual boogeyman haunting me in my dreams. But it wasn't dreams. It was that altered state of consciousness.
Yeah.
So spiritual warfare, I'm just going to state where I'm coming from on this, but of course, you're here for your opinion. My opinion is that Earth is a school to grow souls, and it's a school of duality where we grow through restriction, or Saturn-like restriction, teaching us, you know, the hard way, basically, to grow the soul and the light body to get closer to God from a smaller form, a 3D physical form, where many of us are used to being much higher forms of ourselves, very lofty beings, closer to God. We volunteered to come down to the planet and help humanity grow their light bodies. So that's where I'm coming from with the reason for duality and the reason for what we might call evil. I also see evil as an invention, that beyond the fourth dimension, evil does not exist. It's really for our game here on Earth. So that's my opinion. Go ahead, Evie, enlighten us.
I'm not sure if I can. I mean, there's a lot of things that I just don't know. And if there's anything that I've learned, is the more I've, quote, learned, the more I realize, man, I don't know. I really don't know a lot. And it's just because there's a lot of mysteries that sometimes we think we know how things work according to a certain, let's say, a Buddhist perspective or a Christian perspective. But then when things play out, they don't always go according to these, specific belief systems. And there seems to be a mystery of, why certain people, for example, the law of attraction and the whole mm-hmm. karma thing. And it would make sense that people who, let's say, have done some things in earlier lifetimes where they come back to relive exactly what they've created, basically. And I don't like to call it a punishment system, but it's more of a how to clear your slate so you can experience everything that you might have helped cause in earlier things. But what we're finding is that there seems to be something else going on that I think needs to be addressed. And that's like, I think the karma system has been rigged mm-hmm. because there's certain people who come into incarnation here that from what they remember, they know they're coming in for a certain reason because they're basically called in. They're like special forces, spiritual teams, because we're in a particular point in history where we're ready to make great changes where there can be losses of souls.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. I'm with you 100% on this tip. Yeah. Yes.
So it really kind of goes back to some of the biblical things, even though I think the biblical things, that's been controlled also. So some of these high vibing, what I call the high vibration, very aware people who come into incarnation, because of their high vibration frequency, they are immediately, a lot of times they're immediately tagged by some other higher forces that are basically running the whole recycling game.
Yeah, you immediately become a targeted individual as your light comes down into this earth. It is seen. It is like a supernova. They can't miss it.
Yeah, and then a lot of times their memories have been swiped or they're immediately traumatized and split so that their full consciousness is not allowed to be in incarnation. And then they turn out being in these families where they're literally set up to be like my labs or people who are just targeted and interfered with and traumatized to the nth degree because they're trying to split them to use them as assets for these occult groups who basically want to use the power of some of these people who have a lot of spiritual power. Because they just came in that way and they could be of certain genetic signatures or bloodlines and that kind of gets mixed into the whole soul thing. But basically what we're realizing is that, there is this karmic thing, but there's also this other thing of being targeted. And I know this from people who have come to me with some severe, let's say, anomalous trauma, a love bite situation, or they were targeted by a sorcerer or something. And they were, high vibing, really aware people who'd reached high levels of samadhi for, days at a time kind of thing. You're talking about very aware yogis who have supernatural abilities, who are being targeted and almost nearly killed or, near-death state for several months because they were so severely targeted by some of these dark force groups who have high technology. So my question is, well, wait a minute. I thought these, high vibing supernatural people with love in their heart and they could reach these samadhi states would be automatically protected based on their development. You know what I mean?
I do.
But really what is manifesting itself and what I'm wondering is, they suffered for lack of knowledge because they didn't know when they came in that they were actually targeted and watched the whole time and engineered. Their lives were engineered because they were really a type of MyLab targeted individual and set up in love bites and set up so that they can be contained and handled by these higher, darker forces, which are actually trying to prevent some of these people from really blasting open the consciousness of what's going on here.
I totally agree. And at this time in history, the super souls are back. Let's call it that. So, and I believe, ascended masters and even gods and goddesses are reincarnated here to help. And I believe also that in the higher realms, before we incarnate, we set our life path out before us with what I think with spirit guides. And then we're born into the school. And at that time, it's go time. I don't care if you're 3 months old, it's go time. But you have a mission. And then there's the rub, right? The Saturn-like energies that make it feel like you're walking uphill your whole life.
Yeah.
It's true. So there's a root cause here. We have a soul essence as humanity, or even if we are beyond this planet originally, we still have all this soul light and soul essence as source of nourishment. And then the rumors that I've heard is that the dark consciousness does not have this source of nourishment anymore. How does that work? How have you seen that?
from how I understand this, let's say experientially and with the people who come to me, there's a phenomena of what I call the psychic and energy vampirism issue, or as well as emotional vampirism. And this also plays into not only the alien love bite, but the dark side of Cupid actually more so. And that's what I wrote my second book about, called The Dark Side of Cupid. And it's really recognition of a dynamic that a type of energy vampirism is taking place within the context of an engineered love relationship, where one, maybe or both partners are linked into some kind of interdimensional being that is acting as the predator energy vampire. So they're using the person basically as a portal to pull in energy from the other person, or so that as the couple, they actually are creating energy for this third party entity that's feeding on the life force. So I think that there's some dark entities, for one reason or another, they have lost their ability to tap into the true life spiritual essence. And so they're just basically parasites, and they link in whatever way they can in order to extract that substance. And it often happens through, let's say, high emotional streams and crashing lows, which falls right into the dynamic of the love bite and how it happens. And they may even pull into the chakra energy and the kundalini energy, because they can actually activate that artificially through implants and different means. And so it causes a lot of confusion actually for the couple, or at least one person, to think that this is, you know, their soulmate, because they're having this phenomenal experience of soul connectedness. But then the other person seems to be playing this almost a psychopathic kind of thing, where they're displaying manipulated behavior. They may have an entity working through them, and the whole nine yards.
That's amazing. So, yeah, I'd like to relate a story that actually is my evidence. I had the shadow for 19 years. And during that time, around when I was 15, a man came into my life and he became a predator. And the shadow man started hanging out in real life, in real time, when I was around this predator. Mm. And I was molested, and it went on for a couple of years. And an older man, and of course I was a virgin. And so the rape of Persephone there, you know, with Hades, very much so. And it was a psychic rape when I was little, all the way growing up. And then it turned into a real life predator situation.
God. Yeah, you know, it happens that way, though. It's a lot like a psychic rape, and it can happen energetically, or as if there's a psychic attack kind of situation. And then it seems like those doorways are open, so that later it just brings in the real predators later, almost like a programming kind of thing.
It's like a radar. It's almost as if I had, you know, and even in psychology and self-help, we see that we attract people that had childhoods like us, that got damaged like us, that we have a lot in common with. And I remember the moment I was giving a tarot reading at the nightclub I worked at, and I was getting over the predator. I was trying to heal my heart, and there was such an addiction to even his touch, to his voice, to everything. It was like he was draped in honey. He was like evil draped in honey, I guess is how I put that. And yeah, I was so magnetically charged and attracted to this man's energy. And of course, it was my first time anywhere near romance. So I thought, wow, this is it. This has got to be the one. And then I was being abused. And, you know, he was also with other women. And so that really was a mind job on me, trying to fall in love with some prince as a princess, and then seeing it's really the Dark Lord. Oh, my goodness.
That's like classic dark side of Cupid, where, I mean, they have an ability. I believe they have an ability to create bliss. And one of the aspects of the psychic vampire is they have the ability to link into you energetically, let's say in your chakras, to create a kind of bliss. And those energetic tentacles can be somewhat permanent, and then link you in with them so that you become addicted to them. And there's almost a telepathic obsession kind of situation.
And I believe that he built sexual energy with other women to enslave, you know, so it was even like a kundalini situation where he was building the sexual energy to get what he wanted.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's a magical operation. It's like sexual black magic tantra, but they use it to build their own power and awareness through other women. And then if they can bliss them out and cause them to think that, you know, it's their soulmate, or cast the spell, because it really is like a love spell. And even in the love bite, we've discussed how it is a lot like a an addiction, a love spell. And there's a whole drama that takes place that, a lot of the people that are coming to me now, they realize that some of what's happening with a love bite situation may have been initiated by, let's say, a sorcerer or a black magician that was acting as a kind of predator. And then from that point on, it was like they're being affected in a negative way, even with other relationships from that original connection.
Yeah, and plus you set up new neural patterns when you get into a negative situation, and then you have to reset those before you get into any other situations. So the moment I realized that I was addicted to this man, that this was like a junkie, I was being a junkie, I was like, wow, I will never be able to love on that level again. And what I was seeing was the beauty of the addiction, you know, the highs that I was feeling. And I was like, that will never happen again because that's not healthy. So I did have a sitarai, like a boom in my mind of, girl, you've got to let this go and you can't love like that anymore.
It's sad because I think some of these predators will prey upon those who have had trauma in their lifetimes where, let's say, you've never felt real love in your life, so you're more easily to manipulate because you can't tell the difference between true love and some kind of blissed out manipulation. And I think that's what happens to people who've been traumatized as children where they never were shown any kind of healthy love. So they really don't know what it is. And that's the thing is, you don't know what you're dealing with until you understand what it isn't. So it's like this whole counterfeit love situation going on. And that's hard to heal from because it is addictive in some ways. And that's why the love bite is so hard. I mean, if we were all smart and enlightened, we'd be able to recognize it a mile away and just not even bite, right?
Exactly.
Difficult. And most of the time you don't see it happening. Even people who are, let's say, emotionally healthy and haven't really had significant trauma, they could still be victims of this thing because I think it's a lack of knowledge that leads us to be vulnerable.
Yeah, that brings us back to mystics and yogis meditating and reaching high states of consciousness, being at one with the universe, and then getting sideswiped with duality.
That's with a love bite, you know?
Right. The point is, knowledge is your power, and I had to force myself to look into the darkness. I was, you know, terrorized by the darkness, so I thought it would be a good time to take a vacation. However, my career is always bringing me back to the shadow man, back to that bedroom, back when I was a little girl. And it's not a rewounding anymore, thank goodness. It is an understanding and a gnosis that darkness is here and there's a reason for it. But I also believe at this point in our history is a time of graduation, that the souls that are blooming and ready to go into their light bodies and have more interesting adventures, that's the reaping. You know, we're done, we're graduated.
Yeah.
And then we will lose some of the seeds that did not take root. And that's how I've been taught to see it, as their seeds, and not to mourn like it's an actual person, because it's not.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I think there is a soul growth thing happening but I think it's based on, you know, what you really intend with your spirit, like working through you, and that, I mean, this is something that I realized years ago, that I came to a place where I realized that I co-created a lot of what was happening, including all the beings who were interacting within the drama that was my life. And that to come to a certain point of selfless love and a realization of a greater connectedness kind of thing. And so there was a transcendental, almost paradoxical realization that took place. But one of the things that was clear to me was that that the beings who are taking their role, let's say it was an alien or it was a predator love bite or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That these beings, they are what they are and they do what they do because that's where they're at. So even though I understood that I co-created these things, even with them taking part in this overall drama of life, that it didn't change their behavior, their consciousness, their intention. It's just because I shifted, I was able to move on to the next thing that I'm co-creating with a larger part of me. But it didn't mean that, let's say, the aliens or whoever was involved in maybe causing me harm, that it didn't mean that they're going to change their behavior or their intention or their belief system or what they are. They are what they are.
And you can exactly say that about any ex that you have as well.
So it's like this is one of the things that I see within the contactee movement. And sometimes, I don't know if people call – they call themselves contactees now. They don't want to use the term abductee, or they're maybe not sure. They're having some kind of interaction with a being that they think is some kind of ET or interdimensional being, and they believe it's positive. But sometimes I think there's a type of Stockholm syndrome that takes place where they have to – they believe that it's these beings that are leading them into this – higher awareness or whatever it is, but oftentimes that's not the case. Like in my own experiences, I learned many things through actually even some negative experiences, but I'm not going to project that these beings are actually gods trying to teach me. And wasn't the case. I woke up because of the nature of my own spirit's intention and awareness to wake up to whatever my experiences taught me, including whoever these beings were. But it didn't mean that they are my gods and they are trying to teach me. So a deluded person is going to look at them as their gods trying to teach them instead of going to their own spirit and their own greater, you know, all, and yes, to that connectedness. Instead, they do this idolatry kind of Stockholm syndrome, going after the aliens and then worshiping them and then going through this whole thing where everything's about the aliens and the, you know, how wonderful they are, and getting all caught up and seeing these UFOs. And that's like an obsession that actually directs you away from the true awakening of the true connectedness to your spirit.
I'd agree with you.
Yeah.
A lot of the star seeds that I know, people who do know they are from off planet originally, are light workers, and they're targeted individuals, just like all the other helpers and healers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. There's a lot of that going on. And part of it, I think, can be traced back to one of the things that I have my clients do is try to give me a thorough history, or at least to look back into self-inquiry about what is their true history in their families, in their childhoods, what are the traumas, what kind of visitations they had, with what kind of beings, any spiritual agreements with these interdimensional beings through cults, for example. It's something they need to explore, let's say MKUltra. Are they in a bloodline family that were put into a MyLab or MKUltra program? They need to really find out what their true history is before they jump to conclusions that they're, you know, just a contactee.
Oh, I totally agree.
Often, you know, have that in their background, and you really have to make that appropriate diagnosis and to do the self-inquiry necessary to basically look at what are your shadow wounds, because we won't come to our true light unless we deal with the shadow wounds.
I definitely agree. And with my personal experience with clients, I've seen their ancestors in the fourth dimension trying to run their lives, which is another form of psychic attack.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a big, long story, but it's really amazing how they try to get them to marry people so that when the ancestor incarnates, the family will still be rich.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that actually happens in the high-level bloodliners, where they literally – they create the conditions so they can incarnate back. And there's this whole reptilian thing that's just kind of beyond, I mean, that's a whole other subject. But that's basically what they do.
It's mostly my clients who have family money who are being messed with by their ancestors. And if anyone's having like shadows or aliens, I always ask, was your father or your mother in the military? You know, always going back to that.
Or the Freemasons or any kind of, you know, high level occult practitioner of sorcery or black magic, or any, even with the Catholic Church, for, you know.
Yeah, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness and found out 30 years later, you know, it's basically a cult. And I was told that I was signed away as soon as I was born into that family.
Oh, well, that's a telltale sign right there. That's what they do. It's what I call the spiritual agreement of entrapment that gives that an interdimensional being or group or cluster the permission to take ownership over your energy and your life until you figure out what they're doing and you undo it. And I see these beings are kind of like, I don't know if you've heard of the ancient Gnostic understanding of, you know, how things are set up with respect to the demiurge and the archons. And the demiurge itself is like the lower lord of this realm, but one of his characteristics is to be, I read it in some of the Gnostic scriptures, and I can't recount which one, but it was the analogy of they're like an anal retentive lawyer nitpicker who uses every technicality to get you.
Indeed, like in Harry Potter when he had to go into the basement with the trolls to get his money. Indeed.
Yeah, and so they have these like super rigid you know, technicalities and everything that they do, it would remind you of like a super nitpicker, frigging idiot lawyer who tries to get you on the fine print to sign away your soul when you, when you buy something and then doesn't tell you it. So everything's like this, this high level deception, but it's still within like a law. Understand how they do their law in order to try to get out of their games. But a lot of times you're just born into it and you don't even know until you're an adult. It's like, oh my God, you know, I had ownership because I was, you know, the daughter of a high level Freemason or whatever previous soul contracts that were made with, say, another lifetimes. And that's actually part of the self-discovery process and in-depth personal growth and healing kind of thing, which I think is important for anybody who's had any kind of history that of alien visitations or anomalous targeting, anything like that. That's something they need to look into.
Yeah, and also in the movie, Jupiter Ascending, most of the movie is her getting her identification. It's going through lines and signing on papers. I mean, really, most of the movie. So you can see that we don't need to play the game. This is the conclusion I came to. I had a conversation with my soul. I had seen a lot on YouTube about archons and draconians, and I was starting to get paranoid. I already knew I had a shadow. So I really went into a deep form of meditation and went upwards into my soul and asked her what is going on with all of this darkness. And I actually got, it was almost like a telephone communication of five different levels of my soul, five different levels of consciousness. I got a hold of them all at once.
Wow.
And I said, it, I kind of, you know, like a child made this up and said, I'm sending you all the files of all the darkness and all the archons and all of the contracts and everything. I'm sending them all to you right now. You're going to read them and you're going to talk to me about this. And what happened was the very end, my higher self, my soul, she said, we have evidence to put the archons away for a long time.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so she understood and helped me to understand in my bones that there were null and void contracts on my soul due to me being incarnated on this planet.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that that's something we have to make known. Like this is another one of the law things that I discovered through my investigation of different healing modalities, quantum healing modalities.
Yes.
And, you know, like holographic kinetics does a thing about the laws of lore, which is based on ancient Aboriginal understanding of the dream time and of reality. So I think it's worth even looking into. A lot of these ancient shamanic lineages have an idea of what that is, but it's basically.
Wow. Even the Dogon, those shamans, they talk about, you know, the dream time. All of this stuff is very important and right on key with what we're talking about here, no doubt.
And I think it takes a multifaceted study of many religions, many different spiritual traditions and lineages to kind of get an understanding of what's happening. Because my assessment is that there's corruptions and truth in many, if not all, of the major religions and spiritual traditions. And so what we need to do is not focus so much on our rational mind or a way of, you know, like critical reasoning of the mental left brain analysis. That's not going to get us to where we need to go. It's going to be a glass ceiling and it's going to lead us to actually more confusion. Although, I mean, I think knowledge is good, but you have to tap into the intuitiveness of the knowing of the spirit part, like how you talked about, you talk to your spirit, you talk to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
But to get back to what I was saying, the laws of lore, one of the things that you can be doing is you let it be known that you retract consent to any agreements of entrapment that are null and void, and you can even state it the way you want to, any kind of legal language, as long as you understand it. Because it's like your silence is your agreement that you agree for these predators to basically be in charge of your city or whatever it is, right? So you have to let it be known in some way, even like in a newspaper when you have a business and you have to put in your some kind of business thing where you let it be known that you started a business and it's the name of the business or whatever. So you got to do the same kind of thing in a way where you let it be known what you agree or do not agree to so that you don't have to get stuck into a game and pulled in.
Exactly. You can even spiritually deny your social security number and just claim your sovereignty. People out there, hello, claim your sovereignty and wear your crown chakra. And that is self-rule. And it's all about self-parenting and self-love and becoming a clear, conscious, focused human being.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to be learned. And I don't think I know all the answers, but I'm starting to learn. And I wish that I had all the answers, and really there's more and more that I'm investigating all the time to try to explain things that I'm having a second review at, like the ancient Gnostic scriptures and the Nag Hammadi library and some things that Jesus supposedly did and said that was hidden teachings that would actually help us get out from under the archontic manipulation. So some of this actually is very similar to Buddhist teachings, actually.
I keep going back to Buddhism every time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wish I knew. And all I know is that our spirit, when we have that purity of intention to lead us to the truth, and things will happen in such a way that we come to an understanding of whatever it is we need to learn or do or connect with that will help us along the way. You know?
Yes. And I would agree that the Gnostic story is really the easiest, simplest way to wrap your head around darkness and what we're fighting for here.
Because certainly it's what we're experientially observing in contemporary times in terms of, wait a minute, there's some kind of spiritual warfare going on. There's also the technology with the black magic being incorporated in these hardcore, let's say, MyLab super soldier projects and all these other secret programs and breakaway civilizations. So we know there's things happening based on what we're experiencing that, to me, is a lot like what exactly they were talking about in the ancient times. But I think we have more access to some knowledge now about how it's playing out.
Especially with people like you, Evie, you really are a warrior. And I want to thank you for the thousands of people you are helping every day.
Thank you.
So how does someone get a hold of you now if they are needing a session with you?
My website at evelorgan.com is there's a contact menu button that you could go to, and then there's a form you can go and fill out, and it comes to my email, or you can send a direct email to elorgan@gmail.com. It's elorgen@gmail. And you could reach me directly just through email is the best. And I've got two books that can be gotten through Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I believe. You know, if you wanted to get the book, I've got The Dark Side of Cupid and The Love Bite available through Amazon. So that's the best way for now.
So when you email Evie, put in the subject header Cosmic Core so that she knows that you listen to this show and you might have an emergency situation.
Oh,
So, Evie, what are you working on now?
Good question. I'm working on a lot of self-healing, going back to do more self-healing, because as a professional, it's always necessary to do that. And, you know, it's like a constant process while I'm doing some writing and more research, because I felt the need that I needed to do more in-depth research with the Gnostic things once again, and you know, incorporating that with what I understand in the Taoist Qigong healing modalities, as well as what I know. So I'm just kind of deepening my own self-healing research process and writing right now, because that's what I felt like I needed to do. So that's what I'm doing.
That's amazing. You are in the cosmic womb. You're in the creation of it all. And we're going to get a product out of this. And that's going to be your third book.
Yeah. And that's probably a co-authorship. And that's, I'm not going to say too much about that, but it's going to be good. I can tell you that.
Well, we're very excited. I know I am. I could feel it in my bones, because we're getting to bigger and bigger revelations as time keeps slipping into the future. Yeah. Members, please join us in the members section for very intense and in-depth education with authoress Evie Lorgan.